But we start with the civil lawsuit against former President Trump. Sam Braverman is a legal analyst and New York-based criminal defense attorney specializing in white-collar crime. Sam, thanks for being with us. So if I understand the charges, they essentially are that what? That Mr. Trump, in his business enterprise and his three kids, would either inflate the value of his holdings in order to get more favorable bank loans, but then devalue the value of his holdings when reporting his taxes? Is that essentially it?
That's a very good way to look at it. Thank you for having me. If you always look at fraud as a lie to get or keep money, and you kind of look at that basic idea of it, that generally is the thread that goes throughout the 220 pages. And so it is very much the first part, and that is the overriding beginning of Attorney General James's position, is that there's this systemic, knowing, under oath inflation of the dollar amounts that are held by billions of dollars. And that allows them to get a host of funds through a variety of different frauds, including insurance fraud and other loans from banks, and all of which, of course, would be federal crimes as well.
And,
then the flip side is just as you say, then they're trying to devalue things and use accounting methods to then falsely take excessive deductions, to revalue things, and allow them then to take losses for accounting purposes also in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, and when it's this amount, I mean, it's not just a couple things, you know, because people go, oh, New York business people always trying to do something. But this is Trump Tower, it's other buildings, it's the value of his name attached to things, it's Mar-a-Lago and the status of it. I mean, she went point by point, and it seems like it's everywhere.
Yeah, they interviewed by the first paragraph of the document, they interviewed more than 60 witnesses, went through millions of documents. They tag every institution that he puts his fingerprints on. It's billions of dollars, and it's more than 10 years. So the premise is, you know, what I guess is pigs get slaughtered, right? Is that you can just have so much theft that at some point somebody says, you know, I think we'll care about this. And that point was reached.
Now, of course, she's also, the New York State Attorney General, referred this to federal prosecutors in New York for a possible criminal case against Mr. Trump. What would be, on the civil side, if convicted, what would be the worst outcome for him, his family, and his business? And then we can maybe quickly touch on what would the worst outcome be if there's a criminal prosecution.
Sure. Well, so the worst outcome civilly would be two main things. One is disgorgement. And so if they got illegal funds illegally, they can be ordered by a court to disgorge those into a fund or just to forfeit them, and restitution for anybody who suffered a loss because of the fraud. If you multiply that by the number of frauds, you know, you could be writing checks for billions of dollars. The other side of the civil penalty is it would confirm to the world that he's worth less than he always said. And that would be an embarrassment for him if ultimately he gets deposed. I mean, you remember when you saw back 25 years ago when Bill Clinton was deposed, it was an embarrassment, right? And he had to answer and lie and other kinds of disasters. That would be a trauma for Trump to do that, and I think it would be a terrible thing for him.
And for the feds or the IRS, and has she done a lot of work for them, handing things over? I mean, some of this you can't wiggle out of, right? If Trump penthouse is 11,000 square feet, but you say it's 33,000, like, it's 11 at the end of the day, because that's how big it is.
And that's just how it is. You walk in there and you can measure it. And that's why a deposition, you know, in a deposition, his best answer is going to be, I have people who take care of these things. The Leone Helmsley, only small people pay taxes. I think he could try and figure it out that way. That's his standard go-to playbook. But I'm not so sure that there's any wiggle room here. And that was the point of making this an overwhelming, what was the expression, Colin Powell doctrine, right? You bring everything in the beginning so you don't have to work on the details. You just have it all there in front of you.
And she also
criminally,
I was going to ask you, you're, I think, about to get to that criminally.
Yeah, criminally, it's a much more significant thing. Two important things. One is she extends this conspiracy between the organizations to 2021. Much of the original thought was that his criminal conduct occurred before he became president. which would mean that the 5-year statute of limitations on most conspiracies has run. So it would be conduct before 2017, and that he was already in presidency. The problem is, if you're in a conspiracy, the statute of limitations runs until the end of the conspiracy, or you withdraw. He didn't withdraw. The conspiracy, according to her, runs through 2021 and be well within the statute of limitations. And then his penalties there are immense. You know, bank fraud is a 30-year penalty up to. Wire fraud is a 20-year penalty up to. This is per count.
So one quick question before we run out of time. So by extending it to 2021, and I wanted to be clear to listeners, she in effect is accusing him of engaging in all this fraud while he was president of the United States.
And after.
Okay.
Sam Braverman, legal analyst, New York-based criminal defense attorney, specializes in white-collar crime.